Jacksonville police officers are continuing a homicide investigation this afternoon as investigators search for a suspect in a city man's death. Morgan County Coroner Jeff Lair says 24-year-old Marcus Jackson was pronounced dead at around 2:45 this morning at Pasadena Area Hospital from a gunshot wound. Initial reports were made that the gunshot wound was to the head, but that has since been retracted by Lair. Jacksonville Police Chief Tony Groton says at about 2, an officer in the parking lot of the police department, which is in the 200 block of West Douglas, heard shots west of the building. Officers went to investigate at the corner of Douglas and Fayette. Upon arrival, Groton says they found Jackson had been shot. Groton says he was taken to the hospital in a personal vehicle.
We are investigating it as a homicide, and it's ongoing. We are conducting interviews. Also, that there is a person of interest, although that person of interest is not in custody at this time.
Groton says there had been a party at the location. Witnesses indicate Jackson was involved in a fight before the alleged shooting, and Groton confirms that's an angle investigators are looking into. One of the people that heard the shooting, April Franklin Walton, lived just 2 houses down on Douglas Street.
My dog started barking. I just heard a lot of arguing and fussing or whatever. And then, like, shortly after I heard the arguing, I heard 5 gunshots. Pow, 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 pow. And that was it. And I heard somebody holler out, say, he did. You know, it's just sad that, you know, this baby losing his life. You know, it's just sick that he lost his life over nothing. It was nothing. It was for nothing. You know, he died of a senseless death. It was very senseless death, and it could have been prevented.
The alleged shooting took place across from District 117's central office and kindergarten building. Dana Kinley is the District 117 assistant superintendent.
We really didn't do anything out of the ordinary other than being very vigilant and redirecting the buses to drop students off in front of the building as opposed to the side. Same thing with asking our teachers to park in a different location so that we didn't impede any of the investigation that might be going on.
This is the first homicide investigation in Jacksonville since July 2013. We'll continue to update this story as new details become available.
There comes a time in your life when you want to be pampered. If you're a senior 65 or over, regardless of income, visit your friends at Knollwood Retirement Village and experience the Knollwood difference. Knollwood offers amenities at no extra charge, such as a moving allowance, 24-hour nursing, and security monitoring, 3 buffet meals, personalized laundry service, weekly housekeeping, cable and Wi-Fi, plus medical reminders. Call 245-5101. Experience the Knollwood difference today.
Morgan County deputies made one arrest this morning. 20-year-old Cody Baker of Rushville was booked at the Morgan County Jail at around 10:30 for failure to appear on a charge of theft. Baker remains in custody. Several superintendents are spreading the word about the facts about the Greene County 1-cent sales tax, which will be voted on next month. Superintendents Kevin Bowman of Greenfield, Les Stevens of North Greene, and Kerry Cox of Carrollton appeared on this morning's WLDS's What's on Your Mind program to talk about the impact the sales tax would have on the schools in their districts. Bowman says the data facilities in the Greene County School District have led to upgrade concerns such as windows and roof problems, door replacements, and numerous health life safety issues. Bowman specifically talked about the need to improve the electrical wiring and the importance of being able to plan for the future.
Everything that we want to do, we're going to have to plan for. And most school districts, when we're struggling with funding, there's not a lot of planning. It's we do what we can to keep things together to hold it off until tomorrow. And that's not always a great plan, especially if your own children are there or your grandchildren. If you want to do what's right by them, it's something that we like to plan long term and not just take care of needs whenever a bad thing happens.
Cox says, according to her estimates, Carrollton School District would receive a little over $182,000 a year from the 1-cent sales tax. Cox noted that Carrollton has many of the same facility concerns as Greenfield and agreed on a building plan for the future with community members.
We couldn't do a large project, but those funds could also be used for alternate revenue bond payments for larger projects. So there's a lot of different ways that you could utilize the funds. We need HVAC work at our high school. It is absolutely not energy efficient. The temperatures are not constant. That hurts our equipment that we have in the buildings and trying to move forward with 21st century learning in a 20th century building. It's difficult at times.
Like Bowman and Cox, North Green Superintendent Les Stevens highlighted several of the same needs in his district. Stevens says he would like to also address asbestos problems and purchase a new boiler. According to Stevens, if the sales tax passes, the number one project for North Green would be to replace the roof on the junior high gymnasium. Stevens says having two gyms at one facility has been a blessing for North Green.
We're able to have junior varsity tournaments, well, varsity tournaments going on, volleyball and basketball. Our PE curriculum can be delivered in two spots, and we've moved the junior high back into that 57 wing. It's a vaulted roof, and it's estimated by our architects at being a $200,000 plus project, and it'd probably be one of the first things the board would tackle if this money came about.
Stevens also hopes the sales tax money would allow for better bleachers at the junior high gym and football field. Cox wrapped up the program with a closing statement intended for the voters of the area.
We just want everyone to know that excellent school systems with quality facilities and learning environments are really a key ingredient in attracting families to live within our communities. And we want all of our voters to have the information to make an informed decision.
The sales tax vote will take place November 4th. To listen to the full interview with Bowman, Stevens, and Cox, visit the What's on Your Mind section of our website at WLDS.com. The Townbrook cleanup is set to take place tomorrow morning. Jacksonville Alderwoman Lori Large Oldnettle says officials are looking for around 100 volunteers that would allow for the brook to be cleared from Westtown Ford down to the Johnson Street Bridge. Oldnettle says anywhere between 90 and 150 volunteers have participated in previous cleanups. It used to take about 90 minutes to 2 hours, but she anticipates the cleanup won't take that long. Oldnettle indicates that volunteers should meet at the former Midlands building by 8:30 a.m. Oldnettle says the work is being done by the state pro bono through the work of city lobbyist Jeff Torsellini. The state of Illinois is forming a task force to refine the state's response to the Ebola virus. Public Health Director Dr. Lamar Hosbrook will co-chair the task force along with Deputy Governor Crystal Thomas. The doctors, nurses, and healthcare officials on the task force are charged with helping to designate Ebola treatment centers and assigning the state's readiness to treat Ebola patients should any turn up and to communicate with the public about their efforts.
This is Kathy Schnickelke with People's Bank and Trust in Whitehall, your financial partner for a lifetime. We understand the special financial considerations during the different stages of your life. Whether you're on life's journey, preparing for college, starting a career, raising a family, or planning for retirement, our consumer bankers have the experience and products to guide you toward your financial goals. I want to be your banker in Whitehall, and we also have consumer bankers in 9 other locations for your convenience. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Williamson and Erisman Hires Funeral Homes offer burial and cremation services to families in the community. They have a full staff of caring professionals surrounded by beautiful facilities and all at an affordable cost. Williamson and Erisman Hires Funeral Homes, proudly serving communities in West Central Illinois.
We now have the following death and funeral announcements to bring to your attention this afternoon. Barbara Jean Hillier, age 85, of Jacksonville, died Sunday at her residence. Barbara Jean Hillier, there will be no service, and Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Jacksonville is in charge of arrangements. Casey Marie Veneer, age 27, of Murrayville, died yesterday at Pasevan Area Hospital in Jacksonville. Casey Marie Veneer. Arrangements are pending at Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Jacksonville.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.